We're taking a break from fresh episodes for a bit, but instead of leaving you hanging, I'll be republishing the episodes that I think deserve a second listen. I know, we love us some fresh content, but smart ideas are worth hearing twice, because sometimes hearing something again is exactly what will move us from passive listener to actually adding the strategy to our toolkit. So put those earbuds in, pull that pen out, let's make this re-listen actionable.
I've always kind of struggled with the idea of annual launches. Once you get your emails down, do you just keep reusing them? Not using them again feels like a huge waste, but reusing them feels like you're not iterating.
Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran, and in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Nikki Elbaz, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-and-play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go. First, a quick recap of the email we discussed last week that we'll be digging into today.
Hello. As the votes are counted, the BBC brings you the latest election news with the result from your constituency and live coverage as the new government is formed. Follow the latest election news. Election 2024 result for Hertford and Stortford. Counting underway after 253 of 650 seats declared. Labour gain. Top 5 candidates. Vote share change since 2019. Hertford and Stortford turnout. Data correct at time of email sent. The constituency displayed is based on the postcode linked to your BBC account. Not your constituency? Please update your postcode in your account settings. Search another area. Click below to enter your postcode or the name of your constituency, e.g. DE1, 1RS, or Derby. Search. Election 2024. Get the latest general election news. Watch live.
How cool is the Action Rocket team? They are officially my new email heroes. I don't know about you, but I think anyone who fixes code at midnight and then is up and at it again at 5 in the morning deserves that title. All right, now on to our takeaways. Remember when I asked Jay if anyone replied to the email? Replies are my favorite kind of metric because they give you a better peek at what the reader is thinking and experiencing than your classic metric like opens or clicks. But lots of emails don't get replies, not because they're not good, but because they're just not the type. People just don't reply to emails that don't feel like they're going to a person, no matter how much they appreciate the email. Like, for example, this BBC email. Jay said they saw a lot of shares on social, and that was his indicator that people were appreciating the email. So I have officially coined a new term, pulse metrics. Pulse metrics are the things that show you how a reader is reacting to your email. Replies are the most obvious pulse metric, and that's why I loved them so much. But we can look to two other things, social shares and sentiment ratings. They are other great options. And depending on the type of email you're sending, you're going to be looking for a different kind of pulse metric. So takeaway number one, not every email is going to get replies, even if people are loving it. Should you lose all hope in that case? No, there are other pulse metrics that may be better fitting for the email you are writing. We touched on our next takeaway in the actual episode itself, but I want to really spell it out. This whole idea of personalization, and specifically first name personalization. In my mind, we use first name personalization for two reasons. Number one is the classic reason that everyone knows best, to help the email feel personal and relevant. When someone addresses you, it feels like, well, it's for you. And number two, because it feels friendly. This email started with hello, so it had the friendliness. And boy, oh boy, did it not need anything extra to feel personal and relevant. There was so much personalization in this email, including first name is just not necessary. Sometimes you'll see personalization for personalization's sake. Subject lines that shove first name in. Sometimes you'll even see this with location personalization. We need to remember what we're trying to accomplish and try as much as possible to focus on deeper personalization, deeper relevance, really. So takeaway number three, the more relevant the personalization, the better the personalization. Better than first name, which usually just feels friendly with a little nod towards relevance, Let's try to up the relevance itself, not just the appearance of relevance.
Loving these episodes? You'll love my email playbooks. They're chock full of inspirational swipes, and my comments are even color-coded, so you get a super clear breakdown of what works and what doesn't work about each email. Plus, I break down all the nitty-gritties of each flow, so you know exactly what to include and why, without ever giving you cookie-cutter templates that hem in your creativity. In fact, Paul Melrose, who bought the playbook bundle, rated them a 10 and said, "Since using Nikki's playbooks, starting work on an e-commerce email sequence without them would feel like jumping out of a plane without a parachute." And these are not copy and paste solutions either. They work because Nikki gets you to understand the essential concepts at play so you can solve your own or your client's email problems. Big love and appreciation for what she's given us. Check out all 12 email playbooks on offer at nikkielbaz.com/email-playbooks and stop jumping out of a plane without a parachute.
Another cool takeaway for me from this episode is how I look at evergreen content. Jay mentioned how for next election period, they'll be focusing on the before and after, at the full election experience, not just on election day with the voting results. I've always kind of struggled with the idea of annual launches. Once you get your emails down, do you just keep reusing them? Not using them again feels like a huge waste, but reusing them feels like you're not iterating. So I really like this strategy. That part of successfully iterating is looking at the full experience. Once the foundation, the launch emails, once they're in place, we can shift our focus to work around the emails. So takeaway number 4, iterating on promo materials for an annual event doesn't mean nitpicking forevermore. Look beyond the emails and build a true user journey. Next up, the promotions tab. I hope Jay convinced you to read the promotions tab. I am a huge advocate for this method of garnering inspiration. I find it so important to glean inspiration and ideas cross-industry. In fact, I even did a tutorial for copy hackers on how to use your inbox for inspiration. You can find the link in the show notes. And takeaway number 5 is to get inspired by your promotions tab. If it feels too overwhelming to read it all, spend 5 minutes a day just reading promotional emails. You'll be a better marketer for it. You'll see.
Thanks for geeking out with me about that email story. If you enjoyed either of these episodes, you'll probably enjoy getting my emails. Plus, you'll never miss another episode. Sign up at nikkielbaz.com/subscribe. And yes, that link is in the show notes.